If you or a loved one has had thoughts of self-harm, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255 or visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
Due to the graphic nature of this program, listener discretion is advised.
Suplex City Limits! Suplex City Limits! Suplex City Limits! Suplex City Limits!
Esteemed host,
Jim Fisher. The straps would be great because I can take shits. Pisses too, because pisses will be deflected down on toward my feet.
And Tyler Fox.
Stupidest fucking conversation.
That's what I'm doing later today, man.
Welcome, thank you for downloading episode 287 of Suplex City Limits, recorded October 10th, 2020. I brought my pencil. Give me something to write on, man. It's your boy, the King of Bong Style, Jim Vicious, and he doesn't feel tardy. My co-host.
Tyler Fudge officially missed 127 days of his second year of grade 12 in 2006. Oh. Over to you, Jim.
I don't feel tardy. Suplex City Limits available for listening where fine podcasts are found. You can follow me on the show Twitter at Suplex City Limit. Follow Tyler at the Federation. If you like the show, consider supporting it by picking up a t-shirt at Pro Wrestling Tees. They have a sale going on right now. I believe it's 20% off, so pick that shit up.
Hey, you know, 20%? That's more than taxes.
What's that?
20% more than taxes in Canada, anyways. I don't know what it is in the States. I just realized that as I was saying this.
Yeah. You can also donate on our Patreon. Become a producer. Get yourself a shout out like all these bad motherfuckers. Brand new. Let's welcome Eli Rodriguez. He needs a nickname, dude.
Eli. I mean, all I can think of is Eli Roth, honestly.
That's shitty.
Yeah. Sorry, Eli.
Well, it's your first week in, so we'll have to debate a nickname.
Yeah. Depending, we'll see if your outstanding balance with the club stays the way it is, and if there's no hiccups, you'll get a nickname.
Lord LPH, LaShawn Patrick Hamilton, If I Were Gay, I'd Marry Terry Ansel, Evil Evan, Lucas Gucci Balducci, Plain Vanilla Martin Corns, he's not balding, but he looks fucking scalding, Chris Balding. Our friends at the Smack It Down podcast, check them out everywhere podcasts are found, especially if you like Australian accents. Mike, Ms. Guy Norris, B. Rad Brad, Caleb, you should see the size of Morganfield, Morganfield, the Rice-A-Roni Jabroni, Ty Loney, Jumpin' Jeremy Foltz, the original Ms. Cast, Kick-Ass Keith Martin, the Roach Killer, Chris Savage, and of course, C. Money. We thank you very much. This week on the show, we've got the news. We've got the top three. Bunch of G1 going on.
A bunch. Too much.
Yeah. So we will kick this motherfucker off, as we do every week, with this week's SCL top three.
Suplex City Limits.
Top three.
Suplex City Limits top three. Our top three matches of the week. Send it over to Mr. Tyler Fudge.
Sending it over to me, baby, and I'll take it nice and gently. Just like Ibushi took Takagi nice and gently all the way to the end. And Takagi picks up the win over Mr. Ibushi. What a fucking match, man.
Transition.
Thank you. It was a great transition. That's weed for you, kids. If you're not on the weed, jump on the train. Because that's going to grow on without you.
Never not been on the weed, though.
It's been a while.
I joked that we were going to do sober shows for Sober October.
Yeah, right?
Everybody does. A lot of people do. Fuck that shit.
Yeah, no. No, this is everything.
I'm gonna do drugs for a month. What?
Get the fuck out of here. Let me tell you this, okay? If you were to do Sober October with us, I would do Sober October during the show, and I'd just pretend I was the rest of the time.
I would just lie. So, yeah. Exactly. Back here on Sober October.
Where's some chips at? I got some munchies, bro.
That shit, dude. Like, smoking weed's the only thing that gets me by.
That's I agree. 100%.
If not, I might kill others or myself. Fuck.
Yeah, and
especially this year, like.
Well, I mean, yeah, 2020 has been a pretty shit year, but you know what weed really helps seem fantastic?
Mm.
Kota Ibushi and Takagi. It's fucking fantastic.
Bringing it back. Goddamn, he's on point. Yeah, I don't know. I was like trying to think of what I would say about this match, but it's pretty much what you expect.
Yeah, it's what you expect. I'm exhausted by the G1 already, and we're nowhere near the end.
We're just like 12 days to finish.
Yeah, like we're at day 12. Day 12 was the episode that aired last night, I believe. And that's daunting, really. Especially there was 5 episodes or something in the last 7 days or something.
Yeah, there was like 4 in a row at one point. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of great wrestling there. No way, shape, or form did I get a chance to see half of it, let alone all the great matches, because like there's a part of me now that I've seen Tai Chi go and win enough that's like I kind of want to see a Tai Chi match.
I heard that Ishii and Tai Chi match was like fantastic, one of the best matches of the whole thing.
I'm gonna have to check it out because it seems like his game has, you know, jumped to another level, and I want to see what it's all about. I don't want to be left behind when it comes to shitting on Tai Chi, and he's actually doing pretty good these days.
Yeah. He's all shit on his gimmick.
Oh, his gimmick is horrible. Everything about him is horrible. The shorts, those tiny shorts. They're so tiny.
Takagi picks up the win, and it's a surprise, I thought.
Yeah.
How badass is the Made in Japan? That move looks fucking awesome.
For such a small, stout guy, he does things with such force, and he looks so powerful in doing it. It's great, and the fact that like you look at him now, and it's like the fact that he was ever in the junior heavyweight division is just blows your mind. It's like, really, yeah. This guy. But hey, Takagi wins. It makes him look like a goddamn champ. The crowd were all for it. Ibushi's lost 2 matches so far in this G1. 1-1 to Takagi, so I think it's a nice little build for him. It doesn't hurt Kota Ibushi at all, and it's great stuff.
Sticking with Ibushi.
Ibushi on a fucking roll. Yeah, Ibushi and Ospreay. I mean, what can you say? You know, like I'm sure we've seen a Kota Ibushi Ospreay match before. Am I correct? I think it was Wrestle Kingdom. And we know what we're getting into. And it's just much of the same with more of a heavyweight presence by Will Ospreay. But they did a great hard style match or a strong style match. Hard style. What the fuck is hard style?
Hard style.
Hard style. I'm going to stretch you in a dungeon. Hard style, yeah. You think I'm saying hurt, but I'm saying hurt because I'm going to be hurt the whole time, yeah.
The hard dungeon is a completely different place, man. But yeah, the only thing Ibushi hates more than his own neck is Ospreay's neck.
Yes. 100%. And like Ospreay was giving Ibushi a lot, you know, because Ospreay knows Ibushi doesn't give a shit about his own neck, so.
We'll just throw him around.
No, Ospreay goes for the Oz Cutter, but Ibushi knees him in midair, hits the Kamigoye, and gets the win. It's fucking fantastic.
Yeah, very good. Very good. And what else we got?
I'd say our third match of the week, just to veer away from the G1 a little bit, would be what became a sleeper on me in a dog collar match between Brody Lee and Cody Rhodes.
I just wish it had the build.
Yeah, you know? 100%.
I just wish they would have, when they put Rhodes out, they would have used the dog collar or built to it. It was just out of nowhere. He's like, oh, by the way.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah. Like, oh, by the way, I want to be chained to you. Cool.
But The match was great. I liked it. It was old school.
Yeah.
I have no idea why was the package pile driver through a table on commercial.
Yeah.
Is that a mistiming? I mean, it must be a misunderstanding. You can't go in like, oh yeah, we'll just do that during the commercial.
I mean, I don't. To me, it would be a stretch to say it's for the UK crowd that watch it without. You know what I mean? I think that's a stretch.
Well, they did recap it.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah, for sure. They recapped it for us at least. But I mean, for all the people that are watching uninterrupted without commercial breaks, I mean, you can say it's to a nod to them and a thank you for sticking through and paying extra money for it. But I doubt that it would go that far. But
no,
probably is a missed time.
Yeah,
but it wasn't taped either. It was live because he had the Eddie Van Halen thing on his shoulder.
Oh yeah.
So I thought it was. I figured, you know, maybe it was taped and they just didn't have room for it or something. But I mean, I don't know. It's oversight for sure.
Yeah. There you go. That was really good,
fucking
man.
Blood
good throwback.
Yeah, blood like Brody Lee. Who knew Brody Lee bled so well?
Yeah, he did. Greg Valentine in the crowd.
Yeah, looking like a fucking lesbian soccer mom.
Yeah. Lesbian. He does. He looks like a fucking. He looks like your gym, like a gym teacher or something.
the retired one. The one's getting ready to retire, and he's got his replacement in his wing. Yeah, he just doesn't give a shit. Smokes cigarettes in his office.
Yeah.
Spies on all the girls.
I had a lesbian gym teacher. Her and I had butted heads.
Did you?
It's like, motherfucker, you are. I'm the alpha male, not you.
That's great. That's absolutely great. All I ever think of when I think of lesbian gym teachers is the teacher from Porky's. That's all I ever think of. But like, she wasn't actually. I don't even think she was lesbian. She just wanted to touch his dick in the locker room.
Yeah, mine was. But yeah, this is really good. Throwback. Good stuff.
Cody wins the TNT title, which I did not expect at all. Last week I said
Brody Lee bullshit.
I mean, like I've admittedly was a fan, but it's nice. Cody will bring back a better match style, more story driven wrestling to the TNT title. I would imagine because it was before, and it paled in comparison to Cody's run. Brody Lee's run, but it's good to see Cody back in it, especially after last week when I said I didn't think it was going to happen. So
cut a fucking great babyface promo.
Yeah.
Fucking great. And does an open challenge for next week. Out comes Orange Cassidy.
Yeah.
We're going to beat Orange Cassidy again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I bet they will.
I don't know what's going on with that, man.
I don't know.
They definitely have their own take on booking, because they do a lot of shit that I'm like, they just beat this guy all the time.
Yeah, but
I guess they think it doesn't matter. He can take it and still. I mean, he's still over. So
yeah, he hasn't. I mean, a win against Jericho can do a lot for you. He did lose to Brody Lee, but then again, so did Cody in 3 minutes. So, I know that when I look at this in a kayfabe aspect, I no way, shape, or form think Orange Cassidy can beat Cody Rhodes. That's my thoughts in it when I look at
it. Well, yeah, they have rankings and shit, right?
So
not that you see him on the show or anything.
No. And I don't see Orange Cassidy as like a world beater. I see him as a guy that turns the burners on when he needs to, and a lot of times gets the job done, but he's not a unbeatable force. So, like, I go into a thing thinking there's no way he's going to beat Cody. But, like, then you look at it, and it's like he loses to everybody except for Jericho.
They put it on Cody for a week?
He
did do a promo there where people were saying, I'm with the fans. He was, like, super babyface. Orange Cassidy beats him for it a week later. He turns heel, maybe. I don't know.
It could be a way around not having, like, giving the title to Orange Cassidy, but not having him beat Brody Lee, because that's super unbelievable.
He just fucking wrestled Brody Lee. He could have beat Brody Lee.
He could have, but then I think that kills Brody Lee deader than dead.
Nah, real. There's so many ways you could beat Brody Lee. He's got all those fucking assholes outside.
That's true.
The one that he has a problem with, what is John that, Jay Silver? Silver?
John Silver? Jay Silver.
Not Jay Silver. What is it?
John Silver.
John Silver. Jay's brother. he could have cost him the match. You know,
yeah.
He does something fucked up. He ends up fucking over Brody. Yeah, I mean, you know, you wouldn't have to have Orange Cassidy straight beat him.
Couldn't be. It couldn't Whatever. Reach for something because he's got two shorter arms.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, here, we don't spend a lot of time questioning booking, especially AEW, because it's like they haven't fucking established 30 years of stupid decisions yet. Yeah, so yeah.
They haven't fucked me since childhood. So.
Yeah, sometimes people get bogged down in that, you know, I'm like, oh, I wouldn't have done this. And then that's like their whole thing.
Like, yeah, who cares? But man? Like, if you wouldn't have done this, then go do it yourself.
I don't know. So, yeah, that is your top three.
A good top shit. Three. I'm still keeping track of how the top three changes in 2020 after post G1. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited about that. I feel like we'll have a lot of Takagi and Ibushi.
Probably. Talk about some of the other shit going on. I guess we talk about Dynamite. If you have points, little points I have about this. JR, intentionally or not, calls Ricky Starks Ricky Skaggs. I think not intentionally.
I think it was a slip of the tongue, but absolutely fucking hilarious nonetheless. Their reaction to this, I thought, was priceless. Just look at disgust on Stark's face.
He just had fucking JR, man. Hey. Like, there's a whole section on Botchamania every week called It's Ross Time, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and it's him coming out in his WWE No Mercy fucking entrance.
Yeah, and then it's just all his fucking nonsensical commentary. It's just bad. Like, I don't know what we need to do, but, like, let's get away from it, please.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree.
And then, not only that, then you've got Starks or Skaggs and Taz. Why do we have five people on commentary? And what kind of a manager is Taz that him and the other guy are on commentary while this guy is defending the belt?
Yeah,
a belt that needs to be thrown off a fucking bridge. By the way,
you don't like the FTW title, Jim?
God damn it. It's just pointless. Nobody gives a shit about it. They never should have brought it back. It means nothing. It's not anything. It's just, I never liked it, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, I got nothing against it. It's to me, I'd only see it as a prop, though. I don't take it for, you know, I didn't think this match against Will Hobbs was like, oh my God, it's for this illustrious title. Who's going to win the FTW title? It's like, cool. Yeah. Brian Cage is going to defend his, as Owen Hart coined it, a piece of tin on leather. And
someone should win it, and then it should go away.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Somebody,
I don't know who. They win it, and then they smash it. You know, a fake one or something.
Yeah.
And just get rid of it. Write that fucking thing off, because it's dumb.
I agree. Whoever beats Brian Cage for it.
Yeah, so Will Hobbs, who we've been saying, let's give me something about this guy. They did a little bit. They told you about his brother and him. They wanted to be wrestler and manager, but his brother was actually killed protecting him during a shooting, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So that's the stuff I want to know, dude.
It is.
Instantly, I'm into this guy. I'm like, okay, but, this is, I'm fucking there.
But don't tell me during the match, because it kind of bummed me out. And it's just like, I thought about that for a while. I was like, fuck, man, that sucks. And then it was like, oh, wait, there's a match. It's like, I'll watch this match now. And like, to me, it could have really helped. Like, let's say if instead of we having JR calling Ricky Starks Ricky Skaggs, we had a 45-second piece where this is told to us, much, much better.
Yeah, well, they haven't done anything. He hasn't talked. He hasn't had a video package. Yeah, a video package would have been great. Could have told this whole fucking story.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been great, but no. They breezed through it on commentary and took away from the match, if you ask me.
Yeah. Big Rick. What was that guy's name in WWE? Big Rick.
Big Rick.
He was his trainer.
Big Rick in WWE.
Yeah, I remember in, isn't Big Rick that guy? Oh, no, maybe not.
Is he Ezekiel Jackson?
Yeah. Is that the guy?
I don't know.
I think it might be.
I gotta check this out now. Big Rick Wrestler. Big Rick Wrestler.
R-Y-C-K.
Big Rock and Mask Avenger. Oh, I said Big Rock. Fair enough. Big Rick. Ezekiel Jackson. Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dude, he was awesome as Big Rick in Lucha Underground.
Right. That was his name in Lucha Underground. You're right.
Yeah, his brother was tragically murdered on the doorsteps of his family home. His parents also would battle and fall to addiction. So I don't know. Maybe his parents are dead too.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know. He went to be raised by his grandparents, where he would bond over pro wrestling. And this is something I looked up and found. Dude, do a video package on this guy.
Really, though?
I still want more. If you're going to push this guy, it's hard to do. Hard. Like, give us something. You got to give us something.
And you know what? I thought this match was fucking tasty. This was a good match. I enjoyed it, and I did not know what to expect because I don't watch Dark. I don't know what Will Hobbs is capable of. And I watched this and was like, fucking A, man. Will Hobbs is good.
Yeah. Jim Ross has decided he's Willie Hobbs. Like, dude, he's Will Hobbs.
Jesus Christ,
all man. His shit says Will.
Yeah.
And he uses that in his whatever. I forget what it is. There's
Yeah. It's like, really, though? Whatever. Like, come on, we got Willie Mack. Don't go stepping on that territory.
Stop calling him Willie. And stop calling Jungle Boy, Jungle Jack Perry and shit. Like, just name, call them what they're named, you fucking... God damn it. Anyway, I thought this was awesome, dude. This is a big Haas match. Vince McMahon would have loved this one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Vince, if somebody took this and was like, Vince, we want to show you a match and put it in there, you know he'd be that gif, you know what I mean? Oh, falling out in his chair is like, give him the money.
Vince McMahon likes big sweaty men.
He does. Fuck.
That's good. Good showing for Hobbs. It beat him. Doesn't matter.
Nope.
Still looked good.
It's Cage. You know, I mean, Cage, as his name somewhat cemented, especially in the hardcore audience that know of his past. But, you know, he's a big driving force. The fact that Will Hobbs had a very good comparable match and almost beat him.
One thing I will give AEW over... in WWE, for example, is they know how to beat somebody without fucking them. You know, how to build somebody while beating them.
Yeah.
Something that, you know, these other companies just shit the bed on.
But. Yeah, it was, it's very, very eye-opening to see that, how, you know, they do have people lose, and they lose, you know, like, the people of prominence lose on a regular basis, almost. Not like a person will lose on a regular basis, but, you know, you do have a lot of people losing. Obviously, because 50-50. Anyways, I'm talking myself into a fucking hole here.
yeah. So they had a lot of New Japan stuff on this show. They had people congratulating Jericho on his 30 years of wrestling, including Tanahashi. Archer had a video package where they're talking about their match at Wrestle Kingdom. Yeah,
had stills there was and everything.
Other New Japan things here.
Yeah. Yeah. You also have Orange Cassidy tweeting out, when is... the BOSJ.
Yeah.
And you have Evil Uno saying he's dreaming of World Tag League. Whether or not these are red herrings, I don't know. But that, if I turn on World Tag League, which I'll tell you right now, the only reason why I will turn on World Tag League is because it's the same shows as the Best of the Super Juniors. So,
is that, by the way?
That's going to make for some great wrestling. It's going to be fantastic. All your undercard six-man tags and everything are filled up with World Tag League matches and bullshit. You know, it's just a mixture of tags and singles. Great. It is. It's great for a G1 show.
With all these G1 shows, 2.5 hours. Perfect. Get rid of all the bullshit.
Yeah.
I hope they stick with that and go forward.
I do, too.
People don't need that shit, dude. 2 hours, 2.5 hours, great. Get rid of all those tag matches, because, I mean, I know that they use them to set up a lot of shit, but...
You can do other things to set up that shit, though. You don't need to use six-man tags to set up the shit.
Yeah. FTR and the Hybrid 2, who should be the Hybrid crew, we said a million times.
Yeah, THC.
This was fucking not very good.
Yeah, it had moments. Now... You're aware of Jack Evans' situation, right?
In what regard?
Like, physically. No?
No. What do you mean?
Oh, so like, Jack Evans was talking about having like a broken jaw and stuff like that. And then later on, he's talking about how, in his match against Kenny Omega, he was nowhere near ready for it. And he hasn't been in a physical, what do you call it? Like in such a physical shape where he's got wind and he's got no cardio.
Okay, why?
I don't know. He hasn't mentioned, but he's like talking about how he's got no cardio, he's got no wind, and that's why he hasn't been on TV a lot. And to me, this is it's like, what the fuck's going on, Jack? Do some exercises and shit. You shouldn't have fucking just been sitting around doing nothing.
I'm sure he's not going to Mexico right now, right?
No, but they were stuck in Mexico for a long time. But yeah, I don't know.
You can't do fucking push-ups down there?
Right. And Helico, though, he looked like a goddamn stud the whole match.
What the fuck? Yeah, Evans tried to do some kind of flipping off the top thing. It was awful, missed.
Yeah.
Very fucking bad. And I love that team. When I first signed that team, I was like, this is going to be fucking rad, but...
Yeah.
It's been the shits, dude.
Yeah, I think... give us some more... Hopefully Jack Evans can get himself in whatever shape he needs to be in to do this. But if not, man, just find somebody else for him.
Dude, if I'm in Helico, I'm thinking like, fuck, how can I shed this guy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it seems like he might be an anchor for in Helico, which I pains me to say because I think the Dragon Slayer is fucking fantastic.
I love Jack Evans. Yeah, we're big fans for a long time. But
yeah.
What do you think of the Bucks mocking WWE by like looking at a TV that's over their shoulder? I popped for it.
I did too. I thought it was quite funny. The absurdity of it was fantastic. And like people that watch this and think like, oh, they're just watching TV like WWE. Oh, people don't make fun of this. And it's like, 'cause it's satire, guys. You know what I mean? Like, you don't make... satire. You got to take it with a grain of salt. And whatever. If you're not going to get it, you don't get it. It's no big deal.
Someone on our Twitter, I apologize to you because you're listening right now. I forget your name. They suggested, like, maybe they should be watching it with mirrors. You know, like, facing completely away, looking into a mirror that's reflecting the TV. And I was like, that's fucking hardcore right there.
That would be fucking great.
And then they super kicked the camera thing, which I didn't like. I still don't know why we're going building them heel and the end is them in FTR, so I don't know, but whatever.
Yeah, I don't like, to me, I think of it more as they're probably not going to turn them heel per se. They're gonna probably try for that ever coveted tweener role, you know what I mean, like Austin. You know, and which is what they were. I mean, you know, like when you look at the mixed reaction they were getting, like ROH and PWG and stuff, they did heal things, but they were cheered to no end. And maybe that's what they're trying to do, to trying to go back to that style of Young Bucks that was in New Japan, but less. Because they've talked about it, the heels and baby faces on this show was supposed to be more of a grayscale than a black and white, and I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to give it some leeway, like we said in the beginning. Like, they haven't fucked us over. But if it goes south, it goes south.
FTR, dude, the best friends have the FTR as hot dogs thing.
Yeah.
Which was some debate. I mean, I didn't like it. I don't think, you know, whatever. But
the only thing that saves it for me is the fact that it's best friends that did it. That's the only thing.
People were saying, if it was WWE, you'd shit on it. Like, well, in WWE, it wouldn't be an established, funny, silly tag team doing it to them. You know what I'm saying?
The tag team that FTR calls them, you know, backyard, you know, dog shit wrestlers. You know what I mean? So, like, they're the comedy relief team that are competent in the ring, as we've seen in many instances. And then just Trent calling somebody a weenie, if anybody says it, Trent, I believe it, calling him a weenie. So like after watching those all those best friends fucking interviews with like all their revolving door of friends is this is who they are. And like it's true to life, but I mean it does come off stupid in some regards.
Swole defeated Serena Deeb, become a number one contender. She's faces Sheeta this week for the belt.
I don't like Swole that much, honestly.
It's not very good.
No.
And she's promos are bad.
Yeah. I don't understand the words she says. I don't know what they mean. I don't know.
You white motherfucker, you.
Right, right. But hey, man, whatever. What can I say?
If we could get some subtitles for what Swole is saying, well, that'd be great.
Speaking Spanglish on Being the Elite explains it to me. Can you? Yeah. Like,
then they had the main event, which I didn't give a fuck about, honestly.
Oh, yeah, and Luther. Oh, my God. Luther. Luther.
Jesus. Yeah, we've said enough bad stuff about him. Then the MJF stuff at the end, teasing that he might join the Inner Circle next week, but I don't see it happening. They did the SNL ending with Jericho's name for everything. I was like, this show's fucking bizarre, man. What the
hell? Yeah, no, I thought it was pretty fucking... The ending was great, especially too. Somebody pointed out what Butcher did during the ending. Butcher comes out and he's clapping and he goes to try to give Wardlow a hug and goes to shake Wardlow's hand, but he no-sells it, so he hugs him instead. And then he walks away from Wardlow and he pulls a Ziploc bag of goodies out and he starts eating.
What?
He has this big freezer Ziploc bag in his apron. He takes it out, opens it, and he just starts mowing down and just eating shit in the ring.
What the hell?
It's like, what the fuck are you doing, Butcher?
That's weird.
I thought that was so fucking enthralling.
I guess I kind of forgot about this, the top three, although I don't know if anything would have been from it, but TakeOver was on Sunday.
It was. I actually quite enjoyed Johnny Gargano and Kyle O'Reilly. I thought that match was great. Sorry, not Johnny Gargano.
Wait a minute. What are you
talking
about?
Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly. I also remember last week when I said fuck Punishment Martinez and Damian Priest, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I decided I'll watch that because you were like, yeah, but he's gotten a lot better. And so I watched it. And God damn, that match was good.
Yeah, it was good. I like Swerve Scott and Santos as well.
Del Escobar.
That was a fucking good match.
Yeah, yeah. There was good stuff. Like even Io Shirai and Candice LeRae was a good match.
Yeah. They called it's the Performance Center, but it's not the Capital Wrestling Center.
Yeah, the CWC.
I figure if they're going to do that, I've renamed my living room the Bam Bam Bigelow Memorial Recreation Center. It's a performance center, dude. It's just a beautifully WWE thing. Like, we're going to name this. Like, fuck off, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I'll be over here in the Bam Bam Bigelow Memorial Lounging Center.
Yeah, I got no nothing to really. I'm indifferent either way. Shame to see that the Cruiserweight Classic will never come back.
Is that what do you mean? Never coming back?
Yeah, CWC Cruiserweight Classic. That's what they call it. CWC. Okay.
Well, there you go. I thought the show was good overall, though. I don't know if I thought any of the matches were. I'm just not invested in anybody over there. You know, I thought that Swerve match was cool. Probably my favorite one of all the ones I watched.
My favorite one would I really did enjoy the Kyle O'Reilly Finn Balor match. To me, is like that's as much of a Japanese style match as you're going to get on an NXT show. I thought that was really fun. Kyle O'Reilly is such a believable character. Shame Finn Balor got his jaw jacked in that match, but hey, whatever.
Every time you do something with that guy,
he falls. Yeah,
he gets crumbles. Hurt. Yeah,
crumbles. Sir.
Yeah, so TakeOver, you know, pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, great week in wrestling, and then we got the Collective this weekend, which I'm excited to see. Joey Janela's Spring Break. I'm excited to see Josh Barnett's Bloodsport. Effie's
big gay. Oh, that's all this weekend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Effie's big gay brunch should be fun. You know what I mean? Like, come on, I'm down for all this.
Holy shit! Yeah, well, I guess we'll talk about that shit next week. Yeah. That is cool. I forgot that was this weekend.
Yeah, it's already started. Actually, it started yesterday at like noon.
Those shows, all of those that you mentioned there, are all super fun every year.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. We got no Joey all Ryan those... penis party though, so good for that.
Real bummer there.
Yeah, right.
And then I don't know if you want to, whatever you want, New Japan with the G1 A block. You got four people tied for first: Okada, Ospreay, White, and Ibushi. With 8 points on the B block, you've got Naito at 10, Evil with 8. So,
yeah, below that. Yujiro Takahashi is eliminated. Like, I mean, it's not like anybody thought that
he's
was
0-6. Yeah, yeah, that'll do it.
And then Yoshihashi is also eliminated. So, I would imagine that, you know, like, you can't pick a winner yet. You know, I mean, you can't pick a winner from either side. Because they're telling the great story on B block. Holy fuck, B block with Naito, Evil, and Tanahashi all in the mix at the top. But like, everybody is in the mix at the top in the fucking B block. There's no points really separating anybody. But right. No, the sleepers, Tai Chi at 6. Tai Chi is fucking just tearing it out, man. Just so many points.
Also, I forgot here. On that NXT show, they brought back two people.
Yes.
Poor Tony Storm.
Yeah, poor Tony Storm.
Overshadowed by the fact that Ember Moon. This is great, dude. I'm good for her.
Yeah.
She is really good.
Yeah.
And she's been out hurt, but they're not going to do anything with her up there any fucking way. So send her back there. She's great, man. She's one of the better women wrestlers they have.
Jim, she got hurt running after the 24/7 title.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what she was doing. So, yes, put her the fuck back to NXT. Don't have her on doing that bullshit.
Her matches are good. She tries hard. She's fucking hot.
Yep. Yep. She's Then you got Tony Storm.
Too. She's like a likable.
Yeah.
You know, in a land of a lot of unlikable broads, you know?
Yeah.
She's actually likable.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. But again, it is a shame that Tony Storm gets overshadowed like that.
Tony Storm's another one too. Like,
great,
I think
worker.
She could be so much more than they use her for.
Oh, 100%. Like, look at how over she was in the Mae Young Classic that she won.
Yeah.
Right. Like they shit that.
I forgot that she won that. Yeah.
They shit the bed on that. Like, they should have put her not in NXT UK at that point in time, just on the regular NXT and just have her fucking kill it. She'd be on.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, she would be on the main roster by now, just meandering around, but. Still, Nikki Bella's gone. They need a girl with a backwards hat on there now.
And again, dude, just like really good and super fucking hot and ass from hell.
A badunkadunk.
God damn.
God damn.
God damn. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to anybody offended. We have dicks on this show.
Yes. Plural.
Hosted by people with dicks. For people with dicks.
And vaginas, if you so please.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll get shit for saying stuff on Twitter, you know, about that. And it's like, dude, we have dicks. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, I apologize that we have dicks.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure the Jim Vicious Hottie of the Week take is a very divisive one to some people.
The Hottie of the Week suggested to me by Mr. Evil Evan. Thank you very much, sir.
Oh, yes.
Mina Shirakawa from Stardom. Holy shit.
Holy shit.
She is fucking hot. She is the epitome of, like, hot Jap chick.
There you go. There you go. Kill two birds with one stone there.
What? That can't be offensive. It's just half of it. It's not like I'm out here calling. What's that Chinese chick?
Oh, Xia Li.
What's that chink broad? No, it's like I'm using shit like that. That is offensive.
Fuck. Oh, good God. Good God. That's too funny.
But yeah, she's just like the most perfect Like, only the most attractive Japanese girl face I've ever seen.
She's the most perfect human being I've ever seen.
Well, you know my... some people think it's offensive, but I believe that the Japanese are the furthest reaches of our evolution as a species.
Oh, I mean, like, definitely.
They're super smart. They're compact. We don't need physical shit anymore, you know? So, hell, where we're going, dude.
Hell, you don't even need companionship. Just get married to a girl on an app.
Just get fucking, yeah, married to a doll.
I was watching a YouTube video the other day, and it was about this girl who got married to her zombie doll that was given to her when she was 12. Mm. And everybody's like, they think the trauma of being given such a graphic doll at young age kind of skewered the way she looked at it. And now she, like, instead of treating it like it was, she had to bond with it because of the trauma it caused. And now she has a hard time getting away from it. It's really interesting. Is she hot? No, God, no.
Who cares? Maybe she, you know, maybe she used the doll when she was young.
Maybe it was their first sexual experience.
Yeah.
Anyways,
yeah,
I'm done talking about this now. It's creeping me out.
Hosted by people with dicks. moving on. Jesus. We're going to get canceled somehow. I know you can't cancel podcasts, but somehow we're going to get canceled.
Go find a way.
But yeah, I don't know. Do you have anything else on the week that was?
The week that was? No.
As far as like shows and
shit. I don't think. The ROH Pure title tournament has dropped off on me. I'm hoping to be able to get back into it once, like, they get further down the brackets, but New Japan.
New Japan. Before we get into the news of the week, what's going on in the Federation?
Well, we just went live on Thursday night for the Royal Rumble 1998 episode. That will be releasing on Monday for everybody on the pod catcher of your choice. I mean, it's the Royal Rumble 98. What do you want me to say? Austin wins.
Is that the one that has all the story to it, where Austin is gone and comes back and all that shit, or no?
No. This was Austin. Well, like, Austin wasn't at the building at the time of it starting. And then there is a point where number 22, I believe, they count down for it. Nobody comes out, and then nobody would ever be explained as to being that number. And
what?
Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird rumble, but it's a good rumble nonetheless. Austin wins. This is also the same one where HBK and Undertaker have a casket match, and HBK... he maybe hits his back on the casket, maybe not. I don't know. If you want to see why I say that, tune into the Federation.
God, that guy's a piece of shit. I was watching something about... Oh, I watched it. Somebody was recapping kind of the burial of Dean Douglas
in
WWE.
Yeah.
And this is, like, reminding me again, like, what a cunt Shawn Michaels is.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Oh, yeah. It's he is not held in high regard on the Federation, that is for sure.
Yeah. Let's just be a cunt your whole life, and then in the end...
Yeah, and then in the end, you found God.
I love Jesus now, yeah, so you can't say shit.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Fuck you is right. So check that shit out. Federation, if you like this show, you're going to like that show too. I mean, what could be better than, you know, two Fudge Brothers getting baked, talking shit?
And if you give us money, you can be a Fudge Brother too.
Yeah, you get an honorary Fudge Brother. I think you guys owe me a cut for that. I feel like that was my idea.
Yeah, I think it was, actually.
When, Todd Fudge and us.
Yeah, the Todd Fudge, Rod and Todd Fudge with Scotty and everything. Yeah, I know it really was you that started that.
It's a great Patreon hook, man.
It is. Thanks, Jim.
Speaking of other great podcast ideas, the Check Engine Light podcast.
Goddamn right in the cell.
Got another episode up now. It's up on YouTube. It's up on the SCL feed. Myself and two new guys to podcasting, longtime friends of mine. We talk shit about cars. We show pictures of crazy custom cars, and we decide whether they're tits or shits. Been going good. Been having fun. We're going to do another one here this weekend, so.
Fucking A.
Check that shout out everywhere. Like I said, YouTube. I think YouTube's the way to go, because you can see what we see, but.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is the coup de grace of that show, Jim.
People listen too, though. I don't know, so.
Yeah, hey, you know what? You can listen, because, it's not all physically based, but it is nice to see that car. You know what I mean? Like,
that's what I think.
You can walk around, do whatever. When a new hitter, or was it a hit or shit?
Tits or shits.
That's a great shirt, by the way. You got to do a shirt, tits or shits.
I feel like, it's good if you're just kind of doing something, right? You can glance over and look at it, and go back to what you're doing, and so. Check that shit out. We're trying hard with it, and hopefully get somewhere. So, also, this week I had a chance to hang out with Bobby Blades at the Inhuman Experience.
Woo!
Once again, I'll come back like a week later. Hi. and I just talked a bunch of old school metal. If you know, if you're into old school metal, especially a lot of death metal and shit. So, check that out on the Inhuman Experience. We had a really good time talking about. We decided the big four of death metal. This is the big four of thrash.
Oh, yeah.
Slayer, Megadeth, Metallica, Anthrax.
Yeah.
We debated and decided the big four of death metal.
Huh.
So, all kinds of shit, just mostly death metal, metal. We make fun of Chris Barnes and the new 6 Feet Under album and all that. So, check that shit out. It's free on their feed.
There you go. You know what? I don't like death metal. But you know what I do like? Listening to people talk about things they enjoy. So therefore, I would listen to that. You should too.
It's out there.
Yeah.
From there, let's move. We've got quite a few stories this week. So let's take a look in the news.
This week in the news, Alberto Del Rio may not drink any Patron for a while, and Gabe Riddle and the E is getting sued. Over to you, Jim.
I'm Jim Vicious, and this is news to us. Well, you mentioned it there. This Alberto Del Rio stuff, he's finally just indicted on a case that was, I don't know how old this is already.
At least a year.
Yeah, where he kidnapped a woman, his ex-girlfriend, tied her up.
Told her that if she screamed, he was going to drop his son off in the middle of the road somewhere.
Tied her up with boxing straps, put a sock in her mouth, and sexually assaulted her for several hours.
Yep.
You know, that's coke right there, dude. That's meth.
That's evil. That's what that is. I don't care what drug you're on. You're an evil fucking human being.
Well, he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Put this fucker in jail.
Yeah.
And
listen, with these charges, you can be charged life for kidnapping and imprisonment, right?
And
His lowest charge on the kidnapping is 5 years. The highest they could give him is life. That's what I read somewhere. So fucking, I wouldn't let somebody, if it was up to me, somebody like that would never see the light of day ever again.
Yeah.
That's my thoughts.
Especially somebody with a history of all the bullshit this guy has.
Yeah. 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 You do any of that shit to me, I don't know. I don't like it. That's too much. The only thing worse is I'm not even going to talk about
it. All right.
I don't want to bum myself out.
As you mentioned, Candy Cartwright files multi-million-dollar lawsuit against Matt Riddle, WWE, Evolve, and Gabe Sapolsky.
Yeah, poor old Gabe.
She's like, dude, I have nothing to do with this shit.
Apparently, in the lawsuit, she claims Matt Riddle bragged to Gabe about it, and Gabe did
nothing about it. She's seeking $10 million in damages from each defendant.
Yeah.
Dude, you think Gabe Sapolsky's got $10,000?
Dude, Gabe Sapolsky's probably got $10 to his name.
I saw Gabe Sapolsky's house, to him. I live in a one-bedroom apartment, but I saw his house on one of those fucking Darts of the Ring or whatever.
It was the wrestlers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when they went, they did a profile on Evolve. Yeah.
I mean, dude, she alleges he assaulted her on multiple occasions from 2017 to 2020.
Yeah.
I have a hard time with that, man.
Well, especially like, when there's pictures of like Matt Riddle and her making out in the front seat of a vehicle. I don't know. It's fishy. It doesn't seem like it's black and white like they try to make you assume. It's a muddy one. I don't see the...
She's done so many things in this to me that make me feel like she is the crazy, you know, ex. He didn't leave his wife. He went back to his wife. He broke up with her.
Yeah.
And she's fucking crazy. We've all fucked a crazy chick. If you haven't, I don't know if you haven't been living, but...
Yeah, it's very possible that that's what
it is. He forced this shit on her for 3 years?
I don't know. Especially if you're not in a relationship with the person, you know, you don't live with that person. How does he force you to do that stuff? You can just not go there. You can take yourself out of the situation. To me, that's my thoughts on it, but I don't know. Like, I'm not a woman, so I have no fucking idea.
Yeah. And yeah, what's so big fucking deal? He told Gabe Sapolsky, he bragged about it to Gabe Sapolsky, so what?
Yeah.
Was Gabe Sapolsky supposed to do something, I guess?
I think the claim in the lawsuit is that he harbored that kind of place there by letting it happen and things like that. And there's also with like the WWE that this all stopped her from working there. She was supposed to be working there, and then when Matt Riddle told them that she was crazy, they wouldn't work with her and stuff like that. I don't know. To me, it's a fishy lawsuit, but I don't know.
Who is this? Is this her lawyer? What the fuck? I don't know, dude. It just seems fucking ridiculous. WWE has painted a picture over the course of years that female performers are to comply with certain rules. WWE, since its inception, has hypersexualized female performers, and they've profited from male aggression against these female performers. Bro.
How fitting. Bro.
Yeah. And that's not me just defending a guy, because he's, you know, in here, I don't defend anybody I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No,
if I haven't loaned you fucking a good chunk of life, I'm not defending shit, man.
No. Goddamn right. So, like, does Matt Riddle look like the guy that might, like, take liberties? Maybe. I don't know.
He's taking liberties. Yeah. I don't know, dude. To me, that's just the vibe I get from it.
Yeah, it seems fishy.
He's around with her, and he broke it off with her, and she's just has a real thing for it.
If it looks like shit, smells like shit, and tastes like shit, it's probably shit.
I mean, yeah, so we'll see. The lawsuit's going to be bullshit. There's no proof of anything. No. Nothing's going to happen. I don't even know why she's bothering.
Yeah, she's... I think
you're going to fucking sue WWE?
Come on. People have tried to sue the WWE with much more evidence than this, and they never lose, ever.
WWE has a bunch of new signees from Evolve. Is Evolve still a thing?
No. I don't know. I don't think so.
Oh, okay, because if it was, it's not going to be, because they signed, like, everybody from Evolve.
No, once this all happened, the COVID thing, and then the speaking out movement, because, like, there was a bunch of people in Evolve, I believe, that got mentioned, I guess. But, like, this is all... Evolve is just folded.
They signed a bunch of people... I mean, it's probably not even worth going through. They're just a bunch of Evolve people. I don't really know who they are, so I guess it doesn't matter. I guess this is a pointless avenue for us to go down. I mean, mostly Evolve people. Who's this little black guy? He must be the ref they're talking about. That guy's not a wrestler, is he? Oh, he is. He looks tiny, dude. Good luck with that. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Fuck it. EC3 heading to Ring of Honor. They had a video tease for him on Ring of Honor.
Yeah. He's also having a match against Moose at Impact. So he's doing double duty.
I mean, Impact and Ring of Honor may as well work together. They kind of have before, but
yeah.
At this point, what the hell?
Well, I mean, like, they haven't in a prominent way for years. You know, it's been a long fucking time. But, yeah, they might as well now do something to get on people's radars.
Former WWE producer Sarah Stock was recently released. She was arrested for aggravated battery, resisting law enforcement, disorderly conduct, and public intoxication by alcohol.
What? Mm-hmm. She's been going around living in her van.
No. Great. Huh? The life choice.
Yeah. I thought it was weird because I just seen the Twitter and I was like, this is fucking weird. And I keep on seeing little pictures of her like parked in different places with her van and shit. And maybe she's just like crazy and fucking batshit. WWE fired her and she's just like, unhinged now.
I mean, she's pretty good and shit, right? I mean, she's a producer, I guess.
I don't know. She used to work in Impact a bunch.
Yeah, in AAA.
Yeah.
CMLL, Stardom. Hopefully she gets it together, man. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, giving us Canadians bad names.
Oh, she's Canadian, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know. They did this draft, and I don't know. I might have didn't watch it, but let's see.
I do. So, the only thing I really know is Kofi and Xavier got drafted to Raw, so Big E's staying on SmackDown.
Gonna
give him that.
They do something with this guy, man. We said that forever.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Raw takes Drew McIntyre. SmackDown takes Roman Reigns. So no change there.
Which you know, it shouldn't be. It should stay that way.
So Rollins moves to SmackDown. Does any of this matter?
No.
It doesn't matter really what show any of these people are on. Naomi was taken 8. What?
Yeah, I know, right? Why waste your fucking time with that one?
At Bianca 8th. Belair, 9. That doesn't even make any sense.
No.
Ricochet, 11. Jey Uso, 12. Oh, boy. So, yeah, Rollins moves to SmackDown. So then, of course, Mysterio and Dom move over to SmackDown.
Oh, yeah. This is just... continue that feud on a different show. Yeah, okay.
They split up Morrison and Miz. I don't know, they didn't. Nope, they're both on Raw.
Morrison needs to go to NXT.
Who cares about any of this? I know there's people like freaking out about shit, but I don't know what.
That's people that are going to freak out about WWE irregardless, really.
Murphy goes to SmackDown.
Obviously, because Rollins.
Dude, he was completely undrafted and fell to, like, I don't know, whatever, talking smack. The last person drafted, Otis.
Oh, yeah, Money in the Bank winner.
Who has Money in the Bank, and they've been debating taking off of him, I guess. Yeah, you think? Holy shit, I can't believe he still has it. Is he on these shows? I don't know.
No idea.
People wanted us to talk about the draft, but I don't know what you want us to say.
Yeah, what do you want me to say? The draft sucks, guys. Like,
who cares what show people are on?
The draft has never been... The first draft was okay, back when it was Ric Flair and Vince McMahon. Everything else has been throwaway, nothingless, just meaningless. It's nothing. It's just a draft.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense.
People go show to show constantly anyway.
Yeah, like, okay, so this is what you want to, like, try to talk logic into a draft where last year's draft, there was a trade made for conditional picks that were never used. That's not a thing. That doesn't happen. Conditional picks get used. It's a contractual thing. So it's stupid. It's like... Why would I put investment into it? Why would I even care? There's not going to be a story come from it. Obviously, picking up stories and moving them to another show.
If you feel like it sucked, why are you surprised?
Yeah. Yeah.
WWE, they fuck up everything.
Yes. The only thing they don't fuck up are like their documentaries. Their documentaries are pretty good.
They're not lying and making up revisionist
history. I mean, like the profile pieces on like just a certain when it's like sit down interview type deal, not like an era piece like the Attitude Era and how WCW fell. It's like,
man. So, yeah, sorry. I don't know if you were looking for some draft talk.
Yeah, that's your draft talk. Now, draft beer. I can go on for like another 35 seconds on that.
And Mustafa Ali was revealed as the leader of Retribution, the former police officer. Is he Muslim? I think he might be.
Yes.
He's the leader of the faction that's supposed to look like Antifa or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't get it. This guy just like did nothing with him. He's been on Main Event and shit lately. Like, he's the leader. Oof, this shit was dead on arrival already. Now it's just like good luck.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch him like fail around with it for the next, I don't know how many months. It'll be funny. Because it's dead. Nobody gives a shit about it. And they're just going to keep doing it. And it's going to be very uncomfortable.
I haven't seen a second of it. I got no interest in it. I've seen like little clips of it on Twitter, but that's about it. And yeah,
I guess Mercedes Martinez is no longer part of it. She's back to NXT.
Oh yeah, cool.
Possibly, maybe. Who cares?
Yeah, really.
That's it. You got anything else?
No, not on the draft. No.
No, just the news.
Oh, in news in general, I believe I got something. If my shit will ever wake up here, come on now. What's going on? I think there we go. I don't know what's going on. Everything is just like shutting down here. Anyways, WWE have been sued for not adhering to disability laws. WWE Shop, a legally blind man filed a lawsuit on October 6th against the WWE that he feels WWE is denying equal access to his WWE Shop website and as such not adhering to the American Disability Act. So this guy wants to buy his WWE merchandise, but he's blind and he has no way of doing it because WWEShop.com is a website and he's suing him because of it.
You're half a fucking duh. I knew WWE fans had to be blind.
The layers, Jim. You just pull back another layer. This guy's a fan of the WWE, but he's blind.
You know who else likes WWE? My chick sends me a lot of TikToks because she's on TikTok.
Yeah.
A lot of TikToks of a certain demographic of people who are very excited by pro wrestling. WWE.
Really?
In particular. Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of excited WWE fans. Fair enough.
I mean... TikTok. Yeah, they're touched, man, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Very special. Very special people.
Oh, gotcha.
I just noticed that it's like a reoccurring. She sends me tons of them, dude. And like, that and blind people who like WWE.
So your wife is just on TikTok?
I just offended everybody who listens, who watches the movie.
So your wife is just on TikTok searching up.
She gets all kinds of shit on TikTok, man. It's like it gives you stuff based on what you look at, you know. So
that's too funny.
It's like an algorithm like Instagram, you know, where it gives you what you look at. Like one time I looked at a mildly muscular woman and then now it's like maybe you want all these. I'm like, no, I don't want fucking super muscular women. Get out of here. Fucking Instagram. Like, I think I looked at one customized General Lee, you know, from Dukes of Hazzard. And then for like 2 days, it's like, here, look at all these. I'm like, I looked at one, dude. I don't want to see any more of these things. Stop giving them to me.
Stop. Just stop. Fucking quit.
Dude, I don't know.
Jim, Marty Jannetty claims he was attacked outside of a New York City airport. And it was all a case of mistaken identity.
Who did they think he was?
He doesn't really say. This is just him saying this stuff, right? Because this is all alleging that he was beaten up outside of the JFK airport. He also says that he lost his phone despite posting a screenshot of an automated text message that was on his phone. And questioning why his case of mistaken identity wasn't getting as much attention as Breonna Taylor.
Holy fuck, dude. Holy fuck.
Claims it's because he's white.
It's just... dude. I don't even know what to say about that. That like legit leaves me speechless.
I don't thank you.
Thank you. He's a fucking madman. He needs to be put in jail. Going back, I wasn't done with the blind guy.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
So how do you buy shirts online?
I don't know. If you're blind, how do you do it? You get somebody to do it for you, I guess, but
doesn't matter. Who gives a fuck what shirt you have on?
Yeah, but how does he get to the shop itself?
I wear shirts that I like because I, you know, I'm like, oh yeah, this is a sweet shirt because it's got a fucking, like, you know, an old dirty bastard shirt that I have or something. I'm like, ah, I like this. Like, if you can't even see it, what the fuck, dude? Who cares? I don't get it. I don't get, like, how would a website, would it have, like, audio that would say, like, oh, this fucking t-shirt is a very generic logo with Ricochet's name in it, you know? Every designer, like, oh, this is a very generic fucking, it looks like a gas station logo, but it says Buddy Murphy.
Yeah, I mean, like, still, I mean, just the fact that the blind is a wrestling fan of WWE is great. I just, this whole story is fantastic. To say the least.
He just sits and listens to Michael Cole. Oh.
I love his voice.
I need more on this. Yeah. That's the only thing I can think, right? Is that maybe the website doesn't have audio.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, what websites do?
I don't know. I'm not blind, dude.
I don't think that the ADA has anything to do with internet, you know? That has to do with, like, you can get a wheelchair through the door of a store and shit like that. It doesn't have anything to do with website shit.
Then, Jim, the WWE needs stores for the disabled.
God, send this guy some fucking Bo Dallas shirts and tell him they're Roman Reigns ones. Fuck himself.
All those ACH shirts that they pulled off of the store to send them to him.
Fucking slap your stick around on the way fucking out of here, sir.
Such an absurd story.
I don't get it. So the blind watch WWE, well, watch, listen to WWE, and Marty Jannetty is still crazy. What else you got? Anything?
Finn Balor's jaw got broken in two separate places. Other than that, that's it. He's on a liquid diet for now.
How long is he supposed to be out for?
They don't know. They say he's currently listed as medically unable. And, yeah.
Fun.
Probably take a couple, I imagine a couple months. Your jaw's not something. Now, if it's just WWE, though, Drew McIntyre broke his jaw back in 2 weeks. So, who knows? Maybe he'll go through the special healing portal the WWE has downstairs. And he'll come back, or maybe he'll be gone for a long time. For a couple months, maybe. Imagine if they got to strip that title again.
I don't know.
Like,
I don't know.
Fucking Killian, or was it Cross? Karrion Cross had to just strip it after him winning it, and then Finn Balor's got it. He breaks his jaw. Finn Balor has a whole string of this is throughout his whole career with the Universal title and now the NXT title. It's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. Unless you got other news, I got nothing else.
I got nothing else.
Fuck it. Let's get out of here. And I guess Eddie Van Halen passed away this week too. That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's revolutionary guitar player, a generation before mine. He inspired a lot of the guys who inspired are my guys in generation. You know, he inspired Dimebag, who in turn inspired me.
Yeah. There you go, my friend. There you go. I never was a fan of Eddie Van Halen. Like, I was a fan of like his talent. Van Halen, never.
Yeah.
Never a thing for me. But, I mean, nonetheless, I did read a story about Eddie Van Halen going to Fred Durst and getting his equipment back with a fucking army assault vehicle in a pair of fucking cargo pants, no shirt, and a gun. And it was just the most fascinating story I ever read in my life.
Oh, and Limp Bizkit?
Yeah.
Yeah. He put evidently put a gun to Fender's head. So I'm all in for that.
Yeah. That's a great story.
Fucking Fred Durst. So there you go, man. I have nothing else, huh?
Nothing else. Hey, I got nothing either. Been playing a bunch of Crash 4. The game's fucking tight.
Oh yeah. Tight. I don't really gotta do, is it still like behind or is it side scroll?
It's a mixture. Of all of it, really.
Because I got that, like, the comp or whatever, the compilation of Crash games.
I bought it
from work, and I was like, oh, this will be sweet. And I kind of played them, and I was like, eh, this is really not that interested in
it. Because that was just a remake of all the old games and everything. But this here, it's a modern, updated version of Crash.
Probably pretty sweet.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different abilities and different things you can do. It's hard as fuck. Especially if you try to get all the boxes.
Yeah. I'm sure, man. I'm sure. But I haven't been playing shit. Just Rocket League mostly.
Yeah. Yeah. Back on that Rocket League train, eh?
Yeah, the third of the new season, so we've been playing that.
Yeah. Fucking A. I've never seen the seasons. I don't know what this is. Like, I've never learned what that is. The seasons.
They'll do a season and you can pay, I don't know, it's like $10. But we did it once, and every time you do it, you earn that back. You earn your $10 back so you can get the next one. So I've gotten every season just from paying one time.
How do you earn it back?
You play through, you level up through the season. It's like, oh, you know, it goes from like 3 months, okay? So then you go, and throughout you level up in the season, and, you know, every level is some other thing for your car or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And you earn your credits back. So if you play it, you get the money back, and then you can buy the next one. So I've only paid for it once, so it's pretty cool. But yeah, it's just a reason to play a fuckload of Rocket League.
There you go. I mean, there could be worse things in this world. That's for goddamn well sure.
I've been playing that and Grounded. They updated Grounded again. They added zip lines and shit, so that's pretty cool.
There you go. We should do a Rocket League night again.
Yeah, it'd be a lot easier if everybody was on Xbox. Remember, we had to go and we had the chat on Discord. I think through phones or whatever. I guess it wasn't that bad.
Yeah,
it was fun to hang out with everybody. And I remember, we laughed our fucking dicks off.
Oh yeah. Yeah, shout out to Trox.
He was fucking funny on there too, yeah. So yeah, maybe we'll have to do that again. But that's it for me.
It's it for me as of well.
All right. Well, thank you very much for listening to the show, supporting it, buying t-shirts, donating on Patreon, and all that jazz. And we'll be back next week, talk more shit. And until then, may you get all the dick and our pussy you desire. Remember, a winner is you, and be excellent to each other. Something you need. Oh yeah, you ain't talking about love. My love is right.
stood and looked down. You know I lost a lot of friends there, baby. I got no time to mess around. So if you want it, got to play.